Taking our Bibles with us, we're turning to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, commencing our reading at verse 1, and we'll read all of the chapter, verse 1 to verse 19 of Psalm 116. Let us hear God's word. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice in my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 19, the end of the chapter. Conscious that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word, as he said he will do so. Taking our Bibles with us to the passage that I read earlier from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, I'd like to thank both Joy and Monique for playing for us this morning. Turning to Psalm 116, and with God's word open before us, let us again bow briefly before the Lord, asking him for his help upon this meeting. Lifting our hearts before the Lord, asking him to draw near for this service. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come right into thy presence, not in any merits of our own, for we have none in and of ourselves. We thank thee for God's Lamb, God's love gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, gift that we have all reason to be thankful for. We thank thee for ever revealing thy Son to us, for showing us ourselves to ourselves. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll help us even now as we consider what thou would say to our souls. Pray that you'll draw graciously near. You'll warm our hearts. You'll empty us of self and of sin. You'll help us as we continue to walk upon this land, upon this earth, knowing that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Lord, help us, we cry. Fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Bless those who are not able to come out into the house of God today. that you'll minister to their souls. You'll draw graciously near. Help us now as we wait on before thee, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray, and for thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Throughout church history, the believer, the true child of God, has faced many trials and tribulations. There were the persecutions under Nero, that Roman emperor, how Christians were sewed in skins and tossed to the dogs, sewed in skins of wild beasts and so tossed to the dogs. We read in Revelation chapter 6, 9 of those holy martyrs who were slain, who gave up their lives for the truth and for the faith. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Those martyred are very near to Christ in heaven. They have the highest place there, not because of their own death, but because of the sacrifice of Christ that gives them a reception into heaven and a reward there. They do not wash their robes in their own blood, but in the blood of Christ, in the blood of the Lamb. And so what was the cause in which they suffered? For believing the word of God and attesting or confessing the truth of it, their profession of their faith, they held fast without wavering, even though they died for it. There was that man Lazarus, as we considered last week, God's man, at the rich man's gate, homeless, full of sores, yet he had a home in heaven whose builder and maker is God, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, yet he knew the bread of life. There was also that man Stephen, who we considered in the prayer meeting, who was full of faith and power and was stoned to death for his faithfulness to Christ. The passage we have read together, we don't read of martyrdom, but it also describes of a believer in a time of affliction. It is not certain who penned this psalm, as we see no title for it, but the common thought among commentators is that it was David who penned this psalm as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. We're also not certain or sure as to the particular occasion of it. And so I suggest to you, was it when Saul hunted after David and sought for his life? 1 Samuel 18:11, and Saul cast a javelin. For he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. Or was it the time when Absalom sought to dethrone David and dethrone him from the affections of as many people as he could? 2 Samuel 18:33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. David forgets all the joy of his deliverance and is overwhelmed with the sorrowful tidings of Absalom's death. Though, friends, we're not certain and clear as to who, where, and when, we most certainly do know this, that this man of God was delivered out of many troubles. We understand that the psalmist was in times of deep distress and danger and drove almost to the point of despair. Yet we find him this man of God calling upon God in prayer and the experience he had of God's goodness to him in answer to prayer. For God heard him, was gracious and merciful toward him, and delivered him out of his deep distress. And so this we are certain of. This we are certain of. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so we come to the believer in a time of trouble. The believer in a time of trouble. Verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. God is the soul's rest. In him only can it dwell at ease. To him, therefore, it must retire and rejoice in him. Firstly, the believer has a rest in the time of trouble. The believer has a rest in the time of trouble. You see, Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul. And those who reject him will remain forever restless. Jehovah is the only sure and permanent rest of the soul, and those who reject him will remain forever restless. Is Christ thy rest? I ask the simple question, and this question simply because if you go wrong here, you go wrong on everything. You go wrong here, you go wrong on everything. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God the Father is satisfied with God the Son, and so he is satisfied with all who rest on that sacrifice, and therefore Christ is the believer's rest. Christ is the believer's rest. It is a personal rest. Return unto thy rest. Thy rest. You see, true faith, which includes rest in God, brings with it a sense of safety and security. And though this may vary in degree, assurance is personal. Return unto thy rest. Assurance is personal, but it is not always the conscious, permanent, conscious possession of the believer, because he is constantly battling with sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But assurance is personal. Return unto thy rest. And so it's a personal rest. It is also a permanent rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord. For the Lord. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 2, 6? It says this, wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You see, it is a permanent rest. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a God-given rest. A God-given rest. And therefore it is a permanent rest, a glorious and a complete rest for the people of God. For he hath said, I will never leave thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And therefore there's the thought, it's a permanent rest. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is also a purchased rest. A purchased rest. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Christ has purchased eternal redemption for his people. It is the deliverance of God's elect, the chosen generation, out of the slavery and the guilt of sin into a state of salvation by the means and merit of the ransom paid by Christ on our behalf. The deliverance has been purchased and is now the possession of all true believers. Remember how we looked at it? For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And therefore it is a purchased rest, purchased by blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It is also a perfect rest. A perfect rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It is a perfect rest, one that is complete, one that is sufficient, one that is satisfactory, one that is finished. And therefore, because of our union in him, because he is precious, and so as stated in verse 15, he is precious, therefore the child of God is precious because of our union in him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Secondly, well, the believer sometimes is driven from his rest in a time of trouble. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Now, don't misunderstand me. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. But the very fact, the psalmist says, return. He appeals to the inner man. He says, O my soul, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He appeals to the inner man. He says, return indicates he's been driven away from his rest. Something has caused him to be driven from that center of his delight, from that point which is the center, from that spot which is the center of his delight, something has driven him away. For he says, return unto thy rest. He's appealing to his inner man, the inner man, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Driven from that which was the center of his delight, just like the disciples were. Remember when they were in the ship crossing the Sea of Galilee to go to the country of the Gergesenes? I believe the devil stirred up that storm, and as they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, such was the storm, but that's where their eyes were. And they were driven from their rest. Their eyes were in the circumstances. Their eyes were on the things which were around them. They were driven from their rest. And yet the amazing thing is, the Lord was in the boat. The Lord was in the ship with them. And we read in Matthew 8, 24 to 26. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake. But we read the following. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But if he was asleep, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep in the ship. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith. And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You see, the disciples, he said to them, O ye of little faith. Oh, they had little faith, but they still had faith. They still had faith. And it was terrible what they said to the Lord. They had said, carest thou not that we perish? No one cared like our Lord. He cared so much, he left the splendors of heaven and he came into this sin-cursed world. Oh, the Lord cared. And yet they placed this accusation against him. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? You see, if only they had looked, the Lord was asleep. The Lord was in control of the whole situation. But their eyes were, well, they had been driven away from their rest. Their eyes were fixed in the circumstances. And yet, well, it is true, you see, the point is, there are times the believer can be driven away from his rest. Times of accusation. Times of attack. Well, that's why I believe it was the devil stirred up that storm, yes. Isn't it true how the accuser... the accuser of the brethren, he seeks to wear out the saints of the Most High. You take John Knox, that mighty reformer. He departed this life to be with his Lord and entered into his eternal rest on November 24, 1572. Throughout his life, you could say he was never really driven from his rest. In the sense, there was much affliction in his life. He was upon the French galleys for years as a slave, sent into exile. And it was Mary, Queen of Scots, she said of John Knox, I fear the prayers of John Knox than the armies of men. And so, anyway, even John Knox, that mighty man of God, was as if he was driven from his rest. Hours before he died, and well, he felt the onslaught of hell against the soul. On his deathbed, he called to his wife, go read me. Go read me where I first cast anchor. And so she read the words of John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You see, friend, it is not the measure of our faith. It's not the measure of our faith. It's the one who is the object of our faith. And so, we take the shield of faith. We take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, the accuser of the brethren, in times of accusation and attack. What does it say in Romans 8:35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Yes, there's times of accusation and attack. We're in the world, but we're not of it, because you're held with an everlasting love, a love that cannot be broken. Because it's not the measure of our faith, it is the one who is the object of our faith. There is times of adversity as well, yes, in this world. Return. Times we're driven from our rest, driven from that time of calmness, driven from that time of tranquility. Turn with me to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. We understand that this was the Psalm of David. And we read the following in Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry, O God. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We find David in a time of adversity. He's overwhelmed. He's driven from the spot which was the center of his delight. He's depressed. The child of God is depressed. And he's in a sad condition. And I tell you, friend, it's true that it is hard to pray when adversity seems to be on every side. But it is true that this is when men best pray. Because tribulation brings us to God, and tribulation brings God to us. Because God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Whether inward or outward, of soul or body, the Lord helps his people under it to bear it. He helps them out of it in the most proper and seasonable way. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whether it be afflicting providences, whether it be merciful providences, every providence is for our good and for the good of those who are Christ. The Lord will never do anything for our bad. Never. Never. It's for our good. It's for our good. Return unto thy rest. O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thirdly, the believer should return unto his rest in a time of trouble. The believer should return unto his rest in a time of trouble. Those men and women whom God has been pleased to choose from all eternity, he calls in time by his Spirit, working in due season. He convinces them of sin and shows them themselves to themselves. He leads them to Christ. He works in them repentance and faith. Those twin truths that cannot be separated, that go together. He converts. He renews the will and sanctifies them. He keeps them by his grace from falling away entirely. And finally, he brings them safe to glory. You see, those who have received Christ are a highly privileged people. Why? For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. That is, in times past, even in eternity past, having loved him with an everlasting love, in spite of all these afflictions, yet the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. Chosen him in Christ, made a covenant with him, in him, blessed him with all spiritual blessings, in him, made unto him great, exceeding great and precious promises, provided a redeemer and a saviour for him, whom he had made known unto him, having enlightened and quickened and, well, converted him, and had laid up good things for him to come, and had done many great things for him already, all which might serve to encourage his faith and hope in him. You see, whenever a child of God, even for a moment, loses his peace of mind, he should be encouraged to find it again. Not by seeking it in the world, not by seeking it in the things of this world, or in his own experience even, but in the Lord alone. And so the believer should return unto his rest in a time of trouble. Whatever comes against the soul, he should return unto his rest. Why? Because the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. W.P. Nicholson, that mighty preacher, Northern Ireland witness, he says, you cannot lose your union, but you can lose your communion. And he most certainly got that right. You can't lose your union, but you can lose your communion. Amidst afflictions and tribulations, this is sometimes broken upon and interrupted through the prevalence of sin, the temptations of Satan and divine desertions. But maybe, friend, it may be returned again. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said, as Noah's dove returned to the ark when it could find no rest nowhere else. Couldn't find rest anywhere else in this world. And so Noah's dove returned to the ark when it could find rest nowhere else. And so as the believer can find none but in Christ. And therefore, after he has wandered from him, he returns to him again. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Ah, friend, be thou again joyful. O my soul. Be thou again joyful, O my soul. Return unto thy former tranquility and calmness. Thy former freedom and freedom from fear and anxiety. Therefore rejoice, child of God, in what you have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember Peter. He was actually walking in the water when he had his eyes upon the Lord. But when he got his eyes off the Lord, what happened? He sunk. Was when he took his eyes away from the Lord. What happened to the disciples when they were on the sea? It was when their eyes were away from the Lord. And if only they realized that the Lord was asleep on the ship, then they had nothing to fear. They had nothing to fear in terms of the storm that they were in. Oh, child of God, rejoice in what you have in Him. Forget about the circumstances. The numbers may be small, but the Lord's still in the work. The Lord has not forsaken His people because He can't, because He is a covenant-keeping God. What did the same man David say in Psalm 13, verse 6? Psalm 13, verse 6, he says, I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Ah, oh, child of God, in prayer, faith is encouraged. Faith is encouraged through believing. The heart is filled with joy, and so this joy is expressed by the lips in the songs of praise to the Lord, ascribing the glory of salvation to Him and giving Him thanks for everything and the blessing of life. You see, it's when we get back to the cross. Then the soul rejoices. It's when we remember of the Lord dealing bountifully with us. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Look at verse 8. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Child of God, the Lord has delivered you. He's delivered you from the second death. You'll never feel the flames of hell. Never. Why? For the Lord have dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord have dealt bountifully with thee. May the Lord bless all that has been of Himself, for His own name's sake. Let us bow reverently.